If a Christian doesn't pray about heaven, that's a remarkable lack. Who ever heard of exiles not thinking about home?
Now, I said, that's exactly what the rosary is. We are in a new moment of time and a new moment of space. So we keep saying to our Lord and to the Blessed Mother, I love you, I love you.
That's the Holy Rosary. That's the Catholic faith. The whole Catholic faith is in it.
Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your rosary on the road on a rainy Wednesday morning. We've got a request today. We're going to pray. This is actually a request that was submitted quite a while ago, and this has taken us a while to get to it, which is for Bethany. Brad submitted it. This is a different Bethany. For those of you that remember, we prayed for Andrew and Bethany. This is a different Bethany, and we're praying for healing, and we're combining this with the prayer for, in general, for the victims of the sin of divorce, which is the real subject of our prayers today. And we're going to, today is Wednesday, it's the second Wednesday in this particular series, so we're going to be praying, we're going to be reflecting on the glorious mysteries, the second glorious mystery, which is the ascension into heaven. And turning our attention to what that means in the grand scope of our day-to-day practice of our religion. You know, these sorts of grand events, you know, like the ascension, the resurrection. I suppose the resurrection, even the resurrection, though, is difficult to pin down into a day-to-day. You know, what does it actually mean for me? But the ascension and the descent of the Holy Ghost, all of these glorious events, it's hard to relate them to a day-to-day experience of the lived experience of the faith. And why wouldn't it be? After all, you know, how many of us are witnessing the resurrection or the ascension into heaven or the descent of the Holy Ghost on a daily basis? Very, very few of us, if any of us, are having those experiences because we're not saints. You know, the saints see Christ on the cross before their eyes at all times. They see the resurrected Christ at all times. We struggle to grab little glimpses of that light while we're making our way through life. And so reflecting on the glorious mysteries it's a very positive thing because it forces us to think about heaven in a real sense, not just getting to heaven, which is, of course, an incredibly important part of our entire faith, but it actually makes us think about heaven itself and about the, perhaps trappings is the wrong word, but trappings of the heavenly kingdom. And, well, when you have something as earthly and as human as divorce, which was what we're praying for or praying about today, the reflection on the glorious mysteries when we face these human tribulations can be an incredibly balming thing, I think, anyway. I find it's helpful for me. I hope that you're not picking up too much background noise here. We've got a rainstorm that I'm driving through at the moment, and I'm in a smaller car, so it is it's easy to hear absolutely everything that's coming through. Now, if you have a prayer request, and we are still working our way through the prayer requests because we missed last week, but I'm only booked up, I think, through the end of July. I don't think I'm actually into August yet. I have to process the prayer requests that were just submitted this past Sunday. I will do that. We have a Friday Requiem already. Our friend Bladesmith submitted that. So we've got that for this Friday. Fridays are always requiems, or for those who are ill. It doesn't need to be gravely ill, just ill. And then the other days are for general intentions. And the reason for that is twofold. First of all, the sick and dying should always be on our mind. The dead in particular. should always be on our mind whenever we pray the Sorrowful Mysteries, which we do on Friday. And the other reason for it is because it's easy for we pray in Latin on Friday, and it's easy to find a Latin prayer for the sick, and easy to find a Latin prayer for the dead. For particular and specific intentions, I usually have to write those myself, and I am not fluent enough in the language of the church to be able to do that. So there we are. Now, today, I should say, if you have prayers to submit, that's what I was going to say. See, I'm losing my spot. If you have prayers to submit, you can write them in to Daily Decad Requests at proton.me or protonmail.com. They both work. Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural at proton.me. You can also drop a line on Telegram. That seems to be the preferred method now. Everyone's over on Telegram responding to the Sunday post, which is the Oremus post that I put up every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern time. I've doxed myself. I'm in Eastern time. Or you can respond on Gab. Send me a message there. That's the Daily Decad, gab.com/the Daily Decad. We're also on the Fediverse. I've placed myself on the Fediverse just so that I can reach that crowd. And the instance that I'm on is Post, POA.ST. You'll find me at the Daily Decad. And then, of course, Telegram is at the Daily Decad. It's uniform across the board. Everywhere is at the Daily Decad. There's no, you won't see my name anywhere. It's just going to be the show. And the reason for that is because it's easy. You can also, let's see, we did the write-in. Oh, the website. You can comment on the website because it's a WordPress site. That's praytherosaryeveryday.wordpress.com. And that is not merely a catchy title. That's what I want you to do, pray the rosary every day. Now, got all of that housekeeping nonsense out of the way, and I feel like I've sufficiently filled up the beginning of the episode. Let's actually do what we're supposed to be doing, which is praying. Now put ourselves in the presence of God. Get out your rosaries. If you don't have one yet, procure one. If you're a long-time listener and you don't have one yet, shame on you. If this is your first time you're listening, you could find them pretty much at any Catholic church. And the Anglicans, too, although the Anglicans have kind of a weird rosary that's an Anglican rosary. You're looking for the five-decade Dominican rosary is what we pray, which is the original rosary given to St. Dominic by Our Lady. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who by the Holy Ghost was conceived, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. For an increase in faith, hope, and charity, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The second glorious mystery is the ascension into heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping, from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us. And after this, our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, most holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. O God, who didst deign to send thine only begotten Son, who by his life, death, and resurrection did purchase for us the rewards of eternal life, look with favor on us, that meditating on the sacred mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Saint Monica, Saint Margaret, Saint Joseph, we approach and humbly beg thy intercession, your intercession. On behalf of the handmaid of God, Bethany, and all those whose lives have been marred by the terrible evil of divorce. Saint Margaret, who brought your husband to a nearer and more fruitful practice of the faith. Saint Monica, who by your patience did draw your husband out of heathenry and sin into the faith. Saint Joseph, model of all fatherhood, model of all husbands, model of all householders, all heads of families. By your example, lead those who are struggling to avoid this sin. By your prayers, protect them and soothe those who have failed and have fallen into this evil. And most of all, protect those children whose innocence has been marred and whose lives have been redirected and disrupted by the sin of divorce. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who livest and reignest with God the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us in our temptations, in our difficulties, in our struggles with one another, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we consider the ascension into heaven, it's difficult to get more than one interpretation and more than one reading of it, because you have the same sort of, I hate to say it's cliched, because I think a lot of people do need to be reminded of it constantly, but Christ is with us always, even to the consummation of the world. The parting, the apparent separation, and this is perhaps the most, I think, informative thing about the ascension, is that it is the great example of the deception of appearances and the difference between the things of God and the things of man in the plainest terms. For the apostles and for those on the earth looking at the ascension, and this is true to this day, Christ is gone. He's parted ways with us. He's up in heaven, we're down here. This is the clockmaker God that so many people now believe in, where God is distant, he's far away. He doesn't really involve himself in our affairs. We don't really have to think about him. He doesn't really think about us. He's just set the thing in motion, and there it goes. He came down to earth in order to fix things, and like any good mechanic, any good tradesman, now he's fixed it, he's gone, he doesn't need a callback because he's done so well. There are a lot of people that view Christ in this way, and they have the worldly understanding of the ascension. And that's the understanding of the ascension we need to avoid if we want to understand how to practice our faith and live our faith. When Christ turns on St. Peter, and this is one of my favorite passages because of what Christ is teaching when he does this, and also because of where it happens. You know, Bishop Fulton Sheen, when he talks about exactly what Peter is being accused of and what the whole problem is with this sort of distant God and distant Christianity, when he talks about how, what does Peter get in trouble for? Well, Peter gets in trouble for the denial of the cross. What is Antichrist? Antichrist is the denial of the cross. People can have all sorts of Christs. They can believe in Jesus, but they can get him wrong because their focus is not on the cross. And so Christ asks his disciples, who is it that you say that I am? And they respond, Peter responds. And Peter does this a couple of times, because in the Gospel of Mark, Christ tells them, he offers I believe it's in Mark, and maybe in Luke, he offers the teaching that my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. He that eateth not my flesh and drinketh not my blood hath not life in him. The institution of the Eucharist and the real presence in the sacrifice, that is the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And everyone walks away. They all say, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And he loses hundreds, perhaps thousands of disciples when he offers this teaching. How many people today don't really understand or believe it. And he turns to the apostles and says, will you leave also? There must have been a little bit of humanity here in Christ. Not perhaps doubts because he's God, he knows, but there is a disappointment. But Peter responds and reaffirms, where should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And then later, when Christ says, who is it that you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou hast spoken well, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Therefore thou art, I say to you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and all of that. And then, having revealed himself to the apostles, or rather having received confirmation that they understand who he is and what he's here to do, he then goes to tell them what he has to do. The crucifixion, the whole nine yards. And at this, Peter responds with, it shall not be. And Christ says, get behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things of man, but those things that are of God. Now, the apostles, by the time of the ascension, had, I think, gotten the point. You still have them up in the upper room, not sure what to do with themselves, because they're very much afraid of what the world is going to do. But they understand. The fear is not based on a lack of understanding. They understand perfectly who Christ was, what he was supposed to do. And constantly you see in the Gospels of Matthew and the Gospel of John that the evangelist is telling us that after Christ's resurrection, they understood this. They remembered these passages of Scripture. So this understanding has come upon them already. And with the resurrection, he does breathe the Holy Ghost on them when he walks into the upper room. Receive ye the Holy Ghost, whose sins you forgive are forgiven. That's that first thing he does. So they have an understanding now. Nevertheless, there are those among them who are not among the apostles, because we know that there are 12 apostles, there are 70. In addition to that, and there are several more, because there's supposed to be 140 people that are all the sort of the core of the church in Jerusalem. At least some of them were afraid, because if they were not, Christ would not see fit to tell us, fear not, I am with you always, even unto the consummation of the world, because they were watching him ascend. And we get this, if we forget the cross and we forget the nature of God, we can often feel like God is out of our lives, out of our reach. We can watch him ascending away from us when we leave church every Sunday. Because what does church do? It lifts us up. You know, if it doesn't do it spiritually, it can at least do it emotionally. Even Protestant services can lift one up. And actually, there's that whole emotional lifting up, I think, is probably the core of most low church Protestant celebrations. And they're very effective at that. You really can feel the Spirit when you go to one of these things. And perhaps there are people who feel it more there than they do at a Catholic Mass. Now, that's not true of me personally, and it's not true of anyone I know personally. But I do know that those sorts of people do exist out there, because you have people that comment on how Catholics lack the Holy Spirit and all of this. So clearly they're not getting anything out of the Latin Mass, or perhaps they're not getting anything out of the Novus Ordo Mass. I don't know if they've attended a Mass, proper Mass. Whatever the case may be, there is a lifting up that takes place. And that lifting up, when you come back down to earth afterwards, if you've come out with an emotional high, and you come back down to earth, it can very much feel like, well, you've left Christ behind in the tabernacle. He's there raising everyone up. But when you step out into the world, you're back down again. And he's gone. He's still up there. And that feeling is one that the devil exploits in us constantly, because there's nothing, no feeling that the devil would rather have us have than a feeling of abandonment and despair. It's one that he has in his resentment and hatred of God, that he was created for this highest office in heaven, below only the sun. And he turned against God when that highest office meant service to man. And the resentment there is incredible. It's the kind of resentment that is unfathomable to us. Because just as sin is an infinite offense because God is infinite, so too the resentment and hatred that is carried in the devil's very being because of his sin is beyond our comprehension. And so he awakens in us those feelings which come most naturally to him, which is hatred and despair. And we feel despairing when we feel abandoned by Christ. But Christ gives us this promise: the things are not what they seem. Savor not the things of this world, not the things of man, but of God. And if you do this, then you will recognize, you will see. Christ is there whether you see him or not. But if you savor the things that are of God, then you will see him. And we beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the end of the passage from the Gospel of John that's read at the end of Mass every Sunday. But we cannot behold his power and his glory if we are not the Son, made the sons of God by believing on his name. And what that means is that we have total faith in him. We trust him completely, more than our own eyes. Well, you hear that in the Adoro Te Devote. Eyes cannot be, eyes and taste and touch, and eyes are only deceived. The ear most safely is to be believed. That's St. Thomas Aquinas. What we are taught by Christ, what we hear from his word, that is what we put our faith in, not our eyes, not our emotions, not what we sense about us, but what we know from certainty because Christ teaches it to us. And the teaching that he gives us at the Ascension is, I am with you always, even unto the consummation of the world. And so when we feel alone and when we feel despairing and when we feel like he's a distant observer in the crowd and we're down in the arena, well, sure, he's felt all these pains. He was on the cross, but he's not there now. When we have feelings like that, that is when we remember that sight and touch are easily deceived, and that it is the word of God that is most safely to be believed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The moon is the symbol of Our Lady. The moon is for those in darkness, and I think in a special way for sinners, so that if we but look to her who is the moon and derives all light from the sun, they would never fall into an abyss. Now this is the rosary.